16th District Senator Patricia Rucker. Welcome in.
Thank you.
So how's the campaign going? We're in the home stretch right now.
Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to next Tuesday. And it's going very well. I think it's been a very well-executed campaign. Despite COVID, I've been able to still get out and meet with my constituents and voters, and that's always my favorite part of campaigning and serving this job. And I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to do that.
You've been campaigning, but also doing the work of the legislature. I know you've had some meetings and other things that are part of the job. Does that complicate things, or do you just work around all of that to campaign?
Well, I'll be honest. Of course, it does add to the stress and, time management skills. But I've definitely been able to, juggle it. And, I love being able to do what I can do, which is to help constituents, those who are struggling and need resources, and connect them with the agency that can help them. And as part of rulemaking review interim committee, I've had to go down to Charleston and work on that. But again, that's part of the job, and I enjoy doing it.
So I guess that brings me to my next question, which is what compelled you to get back into the race to run for reelection?
Well, thank you for asking. I will tell you that I did really seriously consider whether or not to just, let it go through the one term. But I feel like I'm making a big difference. And that was the number one initiative to kind of keep going, because I enjoy being able to help people. And in the last 2 years, being part of the seniority and the leadership, getting chairmanship of education, finally being able to do the things that I ran on, which is to help improve education in the state of West Virginia, made some huge, huge strides in that. But there is so much more that, I would like to see done, so much more things I would like to do for the Eastern Panhandle. There's just a great opportunity to do it. So I felt, okay, I could do this a little longer.
Speaking of education, I know that there are critics who say that they don't like some of the ideas that you've proposed toward public education in particular. Talk to the listener about your standpoint, where you're coming from in some of the changes that you'd like to see in the charter school movement, et cetera.
So, yes, there are special interest groups that do not like the changing the status quo. They were satisfied with all of the control being in Charleston. Sorry, silence my phone. And they were opposing the idea of any type of choice for parents and students. But I have to tell you that I do not cave under pressure. I'm very tough, and I fight for what I believe in. And I strongly believe that giving parents and students some choice, like open enrollment, which was part of the education reform, and an option for local counties to have charter schools, which every single one of our surrounding states, except Kentucky, has charter schools, and charter schools that are doing really well and are serving a particular need. And I just don't see why West Virginia should not have those same type of options. And it really kind of offended me hearing over and over again, but West Virginia is different. But we have different considerations. We're too rural. We're too small. There's a lot of charter schools, public charter schools, that are specifically for small rural schools. And I used an example that is just an hour and a half from Charleston, West Virginia, in Scioto-Ville, Ohio. And it was a small school that the public school system was going to close down because of enrollment issues. We have that in many places in West Virginia. The community didn't want to lose their small local school. They applied for a charter. They have kept that school open, and that school is now doing better than when it was a public school. And a lot of it has to do with involvement. So, there is no secret one size fits all, and that's the biggest thing. I just want to help folks innovate and consider every option and do what is best for them in their area.
Patricia Rucker is with us. She is the senator from the 16th District. She's running for re-election. I wanted to talk about the rest of your platform. Should you be reelected, what are some of the things you're going to focus on most? And in particular, what are some of the things that you want to make sure that you do in terms of Eastern Panhandle interests?
So I think number one in this next legislative session is going to be broadband expansion. And already we have announced a $1 billion investment to try to get options for the entire state of West Virginia. We've done a lot, but I think at this point we recognize that we're going to have to invest in it ourselves, not just wait for the tech companies, because it is a rural state, and it's going to require a little bit of help to get us to be able to compete with those states surrounding us to have a lot more folks. So that, I think, is going to be number one. One of the things I have not gotten through, even though I've tried, and you can look at my record, but you know, the right over the border in Loudoun County, there are a ton of distilleries, there are wineries, there are folks being able to use their land to make a lot of money. It's like a $4 million industry. And in West Virginia, we don't have that. And I really want to get legislation through. And it's simple things. It's common sense things. But we've just been struggling to get it through both houses to just allow us to expand that industry and that agritourism. And especially in our area of Jefferson County, I think that that is something that will help a lot. And we have, you know, made some steps forward when it comes to tourism. I really want to get more options available for the local economy. In the Martinsburg and in Berkeley County, I think they have not taken as full advantage of the tourism possibilities as they could. And part of it is because they do have a lot of other job openings and different job openings. But, you know, this is an area that we saw, especially during the, you know, issues with COVID, that can really draw people in. It's easy to get here. And the more folks we bring here from, you know, the metropolitan area, from the East Coast, the more it benefits a local economy, the more it benefits the MART train. And these are all considerations that we need to really take advantage of.
Do you support the Senate taking up any kind of measures related to COVID-19 and the response and the subsequent economic impact to some of the businesses in the state?
Absolutely. We do need to consider those things.
What would that look like to you?
Well, you know, if the government is going to determine that you are a non-essential business, which I don't really agree, the government should have that role. But if the government is going to determine that, then we need to be responsible for the impact that we've made on your, you know, business. And I'm hopeful that we are not going to have a return to, you know, that type of measures again, but we do need to be clear as to what that means and what we can and cannot do. And I think, you know, there are still folks that are struggling. I met someone just this week when I was going door knocking who lost his job, still has not found any replacement job. And because of COVID, the type of job that he did really is just not really going to look the same. So, you know, this is somebody who is an older gentleman. You know, it's not so easy to just say, go back to school and learn a brand new skill. So, you know, we have to look at these considerations and see what we can do to help.
Senator Patricia Rucker is with us. One of the questions I wanted to ask is, what do you think is going to decide this race when folks vote for either you or your opponent? What's going to be the big determining factor?
Well, I certainly hope that they'll look at the record. Both my opponent and I have a record. I have a legislative record. He has years of experience, as he points out often. But, you know, I say what I do, and I do what I say. I have kept my promises. When folks reach out to me, I respond, and I try to find solutions, and I, you know, find ways of getting it through the legislature. I have found that, you know, I'm really good at working with others and that getting creative ideas for, you know, passing things that have not gotten through before. Even though there's been many attempts, I find a way to get it through. And I hope folks understand that, you know, that's not something that everybody has. I've been able to get more for the Eastern Panhandle in the last 4 years than, you know, a lot of legislators have been able to get through. And I just hope that folks will know that I will continue fighting for them and they'll take that into consideration.
Senator Patricia Rucker is with us. Some of the commercials that have come out on behalf of you and on behalf of your opponent, they're not coming from your campaigns. They're coming from another group, a PAC, et cetera. And some of them can be ad hominem attacks. They go after the person. Some of them characterize either you or your opponent in a certain way. How do you distance yourself from those, and how do you respond to some of those attacks?
Well, I have had these attacks, as you said, for over 2 months now, and just, you know, very little that I can say other than showing people this is the actual legislation, this is my actual votes, you know, just respond with the facts. You know, this is part of politics that nobody likes. And when I go door to door and talk to folks, you know, folks can see through these things, I'm grateful to say. And it's really unfortunate that, you know, there are some folks that feel that the only way to, you know, campaign is to be attacking a negative. But I've tried to focus on the positive and answered the questions that folks put to me. And what can I say? I have yet to see one of those attack ads that's actually legitimate and truthful and says what, you know, I actually did and what the point of the legislation actually was. And I'm sure it's unfortunate, you know, that happens on both sides.
Right. And it's hard to go back and say, hey, wait a minute, guys, I didn't actually authorize that ad, you know, against my opponent.
It's kind of funny because one of the attack ads against me was about campaign finance reform. And they're saying that, you know, I made it, you know, easier for dark money when it was the opposite. The campaign finance reform that we passed actually did the opposite. It encouraged more funding for candidates directly, which all has to be, you know, out and transparent and put on the Secretary of State's website. We actually increased that amount so that there would be less need for those, you know, secret the PACs and things like that. But more importantly, for the PACs, we added transparency by forcing them to have to put in the reporting periods a lot more frequently. So now it's a lot more reporting than there was before. I mean, it's more than double the amount of reporting they had to do before. Before, you could go the entire election cycle and only have one or two reporting periods through the election. Now there's like, oh, it's all the time. So, you know, that's just one example. You know, they just completely flipped around what we did and made it sound worse when it was actually better.
Senator Patricia Rucker, how will you spend election night? Will you be just at home? Will you be at an elections headquarters?
So last time, I figure I'm going to do this again. I went out to dinner with my family, and we tried to enjoy a nice, quiet meal with the phones turned off. And at some point, you know, probably 10 or 10:30 or so, I'll probably head over to one of the Victory Center parties.
Sounds like a plan. Patricia Rucker, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much.